I knew you'd come.
Oh, man, baby. Wanna wrestle?
We've got two words for ya!
Glorious! No, I won't give in!
Listening to Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Supreme Dream and the Irish Nightmare.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
From the ashes like a phoenix, middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis, lying asshole out in Phoenix. When I say this shit, I mean it. Fuck you, Marks, I hate it. This for all my fans are waiting. Entertainment's hottest free agent. Bitch, I'm reincarnated.
All right, I don't even know how to respond to that. That is the latest single from the real one, Mr. Enzo Amore. And, wow. Just no words at that point.
It's probably the most ridiculous bit of nonsense ever to hit my fucking ear holes.
And that was only about 15 seconds of it.
Yeah, it was. If he was trying to be the most annoying person in the entire planet, then he succeeded. Congratulations, Enzo. You succeeded, because that was fucking garbage. And if you like that, good for you. Your taste in music is absolutely pitiful.
Well, in this age of mumble rap, that probably would get a bunch of people.
That wasn't even mumble rap. That was, I'm a born of mud, huh? And I'm a hunter, gonna hunt. And I'm constipated, what? And I got a consensual penis. I'm a really, huh?
So, after all that, welcome to Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. This show has already come to a screeching halt in the first minute. So, as you heard, that was Enzo Amore, like we said, and that's about all we're going to do, because there's no reason in even giving him any more time than what we just gave him.
Nope, he doesn't deserve any more time. Good luck wherever he goes. I'm hoping it's not Impact, or actually, I'm hoping he kind of quits wrestling. He wasn't good at it to be.
Go with this, because we won't be listening to it,
become
so that'd be
filth,
even better.
A filth rapper who fucking gets off. He got off the hook.
Yeah.
We don't know if it was true or not, but all allegations were acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
He's an innocent man who may or may not have raped someone. Congratulations. And now you're going to rub it in her face and call her out and call her whatever you're going to call her, a bitch and a hoe and all that shit. Congratulations. You're a class act human being who dwells in the lowest parts of the fucking scrapyard and fucking sewage drains, you tool.
So let's move on to something a little more fun, a little more happy, and actually
happy.
Something that's actually about wrestling. So,
you know, I went into the... I was putting the other day. There was two golfers, two fans, ate ha on his ass cheeks. And sure enough, PPY. Lafferty Daniel and Gilmore happy.
So, what we're going to start off with this week is we're going to go to our Twitter topics and...
weekly special and our contribution to the rest of the Twitterverse.
Yes. So we have our first topic question this week came on Monday.
Which it usually will.
Yeah.
I was reminded heavily because I was in the middle of a nice barbecue. Nightmare texts me, "You going to put out the topic question?" I'm mid fucking cheeseburger here, and he's fucking texting me about this stupid fucking question. I said, "You know what? I got your question right here for you. You know what the question for the week is? Do you know what it is, brother?"
I know what it is. I read it.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
What's one thing you would implement in WWE that other promotions do that you like? For instance, for me personally, I'm the one to put this out. After every title defense, there's a new challenger, a la New Japan Pro Wrestling. Because you get that with their... We went over this in our last show, and I decided to put it out there for the Twitterverse. So, that was my question. We got some good responses. some surprising responses. Let's see what we're going to start with, because we weren't technically prepared for this.
We were prepared.
We were prepared enough. Who am I going to start with?
So, I mean, I love the New Japan thing. I love that Kenny Omega or Okada, someone standing in the ring after a victory, and then all of a sudden music hits and someone comes out and challenges them. That would be a very good idea, especially with the Universal title or the Ghost title, as it were, because it just, of course, with Brock, we never see it. So for it to go would be great.
I found the first one that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes from Baron Ash at Baron A5H.
Okay.
Which I think is supposed to mean Ash, but you're, very creatively with a 5 in there. He goes, or she goes, they go, feed mid-tag wrestlers to long-term champions a la New Japan. I don't need Brock to beat every single Raw main eventer. Letting him mix it up with guys who won't win the top prize anytime soon, boost them to championship material, boost the champions' numbers, and most importantly, keeps matches fresh.
Yeah, that's a hell of an idea. I mean, exactly, you know what I mean?
And it makes sense, too. I mean, it's not going to happen because Brock Lesnar's contract is shaky at best, and he's got a limit of how many appearances he's going to make, so you're not going to get him in there with mid-carders. You're going to get him in there with the top talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, is that you run these guys, and you put them in this little box, and you got to be able to, with especially the size of the rosters, you got to be able to move everybody around and get everyone seen.
Yeah,
I mean, especially with a 3-hour show like Raw has, at least.
Yeah, we got to see a little bit of that on the flip side on SmackDown this week. You got Ty Dillinger against the number one contender in Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. And
something along the lines of that. Someone that it might be mid to lower card or mid to upper card. Like, you could have, you know, Sami Zayn's not going to beat Brock Lesnar, but I bet you they would have a fucking hell of a match.
Yeah, and that's what gets lost with our opinion of Brock Lesnar. He can still perform really well. He can put on a good match if he's matched up the right way.
I mean, him and AJ Styles is the best example of that, because it was a match that went, 15 to 20 minutes long. And it was pretty much, it was well-paced throughout the whole match.
Yeah.
Brock looked dominant for a lot of it, but AJ Styles also held his own for a good part of that match.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it looked like it could have went either way for a second there when he focused on the calf and his leg, and he saw Brock weary, and he put him in the calf crusher. That was really good, back and forth. I mean, Brock can go and Brock can sell when Brock wants to. Brock Lesnar is always going to do Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, absolutely. He's always going to do business the way he does business. He's not going to be an every night guy. But you can still, when he does come around, showcase him with new and different talent and not just Roman Reigns all the time.
Braun Strowman.
Or Braun Strowman,
Or someone that they think is a big marquee matchup. He's not going to draw as much on a main event of a pay-per-view against an Apollo Crews.
Yeah,
we know that.
But of course, if
he makes a Raw appearance, have him go a 10-minute match. Or an 8 to 12 minute match with a mid-carder.
Well, I mean, Brock versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah, you know he's not. I wouldn't really consider
not
Kevin Owens
a mid-carder. Yeah.
But
I'm just saying, as something
to that
different,
point, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you're not going to get a Fandango
Brock
Lesnar match,
yes,
that you're going to believe the Fandango is going to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, just something to change it up and entertain the crowd. I got one more that I liked out of it, and this is from the Undisputed Future podcast.
I skipped over that one.
I'm surprised, especially because of what you like.
I liked
with,
it too. Yeah.
Comes out of it.
I used them last week though. Give them underscore.
Yeah.
Or their at. What's their at handle?
Yeah. Their name's so long that I can't. It's at podcast underscore UF.
Yes.
But anyway, their response, and like I said, it was one of my favorite ones. Even though we used them last week, it's still one of the better ones, especially because I agree with switching it up. And he basically comes out and says, easy, and my answer is specifically fueled by Candice LeRae's role in Gargano and Ciampa's storyline. or lack thereof, depending on where you stand. He wants a solid, well-structured intergender match with some meaning. And that's one thing that WWE has really strayed away from since the Attitude Era. Because the Attitude Era, of course, they had China. They did it a little bit with Sable. Lita did it a little bit.
You had Beth Phoenix.
Beth Phoenix, of course.
First ever. But they weren't really well-structured, meaningful matches.
Exactly.
They were more
They
were an attraction.
Yeah.
They were a special feature.
Yeah.
What he's alluding to is what Candice LeRae did before she got into the WWE. She was well known in the intergender matches.
Yes.
So to see Candice LeRae get knocked over off the apron, or Gargano get knocked off the apron and running into her.
Yeah.
Did you see her when she fell?
She
is a beast.
Absolutely she is.
Her traps, her arms, her
back. I don't think I timed that right.
We had a little technical difficulties. I tried to get it back in there. But what I was saying is that Candice LeRae, if you followed her before she got into the WWE, you're not going to believe that a little knockdown is going to stop her. She can go toe-to-toe with some of the best guys in the business. And for her to be in this role with the kind of like
the valet.
Yeah, the valet. Yeah. Who doesn't really say anything, so she's kind of just there. I mean, it doesn't do her any justice. I mean, having her go one-on-one with Bianca Belair, now that's a good matchup.
Yes.
Bianca Belair's a beast. She could also probably go toe-to-toe with a lot of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that was like her one meaningful match that she had. And then she hasn't been featured yet. She's kind of just the in-between for this matchup. Now, how I would throw her out there and have her attack Ciampa in this street fight that they're going to have for NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Yeah, let her take some bumps. Everyone knows she can. It would just surprise everybody. I mean, it would surprise the people that didn't know she was as well-rounded as she actually is.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that when you get to WWE, they don't want to harp on what they did.
True.
They want to hone in on what they can do and make them into their product.
Yeah.
So what she did outside isn't so much. And not to mention that a lot of the WWE audience, a lot of the, maybe not as much of the NXT audience, is going to know what she did. I mean, I think a lot of people do.
Yes.
But I still think that,
well, the reaction alone from when she first came, what was it, in Philly, was the first time we saw her come out. She was ringside for that match in Philly for CN and Gargano. And the crowd went nuts when she jumped the rail and went after Vega.
They were probably hoping that she was going to go after CN.
Exactly. And that's, but again, certain crowds are more in tune with that than others, like Chicago, Philly, New York. They're more into everything, every kind of wrestling, than maybe a small town in Tennessee or, you know what I mean? Something like that. But so that,
well,
I get.
Not to mention that WWE still isn't comfortable with intergender matches.
No,
I mean, the main of, or the WrestleMania match with Triple H and Stephanie with Kurt Angle and Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
That was like one of the closest things you're going to get recently, because it's Triple H.
Exactly.
Triple H knows what he can get away with. He knows what's popular around the wrestling world, not just in the bubble of WWE.
Yeah.
He knows it. That's why he's scooping up, and whoever's the recruit, William Regal,
mm-hmm,
they know.
Yeah, absolutely they do. And Regal's not stupid either. Regal knows everything about the business that is wrestling, and he knows.
And the top talents that they're scooping up, he's one of the main headhunters.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, that was a great point. And we agree. We believe that there should be more intergender. The women now to do it more than ever. When you have, like you said, even Ronda, Nia Jax, I think, could go with...
I think Charlotte Flair can probably go toe-to-toe with Roman Reigns, no problem. I'm not even joking around. I think there's a possibility.
Yeah, the way that Charlotte wrestles, absolutely. She could match with a lot of different guys. And then, of course, like we said, Candice LeRae is the head of this. So
it's all about how it's booked and how the match is put together. I mean, you could put any woman in the ring with any guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
minus
just
Braun Strowman.
But yeah. I mean, some of them would look a little odd, and they'd have to, the guy would have to sell more to compensate. But all in all, it really wouldn't be that hard.
I mean, it's all in the art of entertainment. And that's exactly what that E stands for. Besides Elias, it stands for entertainment. They just don't feel comfortable at this time crossing completely over.
Yeah.
Even though it's an equal world that we live in.
Yeah,
they're still not ready to jump ship yet.
Still hesitant. So, I mean,
on to the next one. Yes, on to the next one.
Thanks to everyone who answered for that question and gave your responses. For our next one, I put this one out Tuesday morning, and basically, it was because CM Punk's 434-day streak is being broken in less than 3 weeks.
Yes.
Of course, by Brock Lesnar. How do you feel about streaks in the wrestling business? And is it good, or does it not even make any sense? Now, before I go to the responses that we did like, there was one that kind of confused me. Someone said, records and streaks are great, but this is not a streak. I understand what he was trying to say, but it is a streak of holding the title for a long period of time. It's a 434-day streak of being the champion. So
yeah,
it is a streak.
He was underselling that this isn't a quote unquote. He didn't use those, but
yes,
I would have put a quote unquote streak.
Exactly.
A streak is a title defense after title defense after title defense.
Yeah.
This is a little lackluster.
Everyone can agree with.
This is more of another trophy for Brock Lesnar to have.
Okay.
So we're just going to break this just because you're our guy. You should have had it to begin with. CM Punk who?
I mean, yeah, that's the other thing is it's a way of erasing CM Punk from the books of WWE in another way. That's the other way.
I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Oh, absolutely. I don't expect any less. I'm just saying it's a perk, I should say.
Well, here's the thing. Breaking this streak devalues this streak immensely.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is no value in this streak whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There was two or three meaningful title defenses in this 400 and some odd day streak.
Yes.
Technically, if you want to get so technical about it, he's not the champion anymore. Roman's feet touched first.
Yeah,
I mean, technically, this streak's over. He doesn't beat the streak.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if you really want to go into all technicalities, Roman beat him before he was able to beat this streak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think he should have it.
No, neither one of us do. I know. We both agree that Braun Strowman should be wearing that title right now.
Anybody at this point.
Well, yeah, anyone.
I would rather wear it
anyone
than
but Brock.
Have see him.
But so let's get to the first one, and literally the name is, or not even a name, it's a number, it's 2, and it's at iHeartWrestling. And it's...
Yeehaw!
basically, the response was, I couldn't care less about Brock Lesnar, despite his mug being my avatar. And I think he is a clown in wrestling with very, very little in-ring ability and no personality. Well, that's true, because that's why he is Heyman. Him breaking another streak is bullshit. Oh, I'm sorry, bullshit promotion from the weakest story in pro wrestling history.
Well, here's the thing, though.
That's some passion in that tweet.
Oh, there is. And a lot of it is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call this really a story.
No, it's not. Yeah.
A story has, I mean, layers, chapters.
Yeah, building.
It's got a plot to it. This is just, you put the, it, I mean, look how it started. Started with two part-timers, one who beat a viable champion for no apparent reason, only to main event WrestleMania, which is Bill Goldberg.
Yes.
Should have never beat Kevin Owens for that title.
No way in hell. And not the way
Here's
he
the
did
thing.
Either.
You're not going to bring back the great Muda to beat Okada.
Yeah.
Just because he's a special attraction, he's a veteran, he's been around for ages. I mean, if Liger actually retired, which doesn't look like he's ever going to, he's going to wrestle till he's 80.
Yeah.
Because he can. I mean, he's in better shape now than he was freaking 20 years ago. But say Liger was your big special attraction in the Japan world. You're going to bring Liger back just to break Okada streak just so you can have great Muta versus Jushin Thunder Liger at Wrestle Kingdom 13?
No.
That's not the way you
would never do
that's
it.
That's not the way you book.
Yeah.
It's all about the numbers because you don't think you have the pure talent. You don't think that an AJ Styles Seth Rollins match is going to be more money draw than a Brock Lesnar Bill Goldberg. And you know what? It probably won't. It's not going to be as big of a draw. You're going to get all the diehard wrestling fans really excited and really amped up because that's a hell of a main event.
Yeah.
But no, or you're going to get a Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins for the main event for the Universal title. Mm-hmm. But no, you're going to get Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg circa 2003. Mind you, 15 fucking years ago, this was a match.
And it was a shit match.
It was a garbage match because they were both leaving. This is both the redemption swan song. And what are we going to do? We're going to make it for the most prestigious title, which isn't the most prestigious title in WWE. No. It's just not. It's definitely not the most prestigious title anymore in all of wrestling.
It's not even the most prestigious title that, on the show.
That
on
Raw. No, it's not. The one that Ric Flair carried around, that NWA, the one that all the legends had that they brought from WCW and they had for a little bit, that was the most prestigious title in wrestling.
Yes.
They got rid of that because they let The Rock design one.
Well, and not only that, with that, the winged eagle...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
was
absolutely.
Pretty prestigious.
Yeah, and we're old farts, so of course we're going to say that the older belts are, oh, they're more prestigious. But look at who held them.
Exactly.
Hogan wore the wingtip.
Yeah.
Savage wore the wingtip. Those are legends. Those
Austin,
are what,
Austin
everyone
and Michaels.
What everyone likes to call this current age, mm-hmm. And this is a tangent. Brace yourselves. This is a tangent. What everyone likes to call when you see, oh, this guy just started. Look what he just did. He's a legend. No,
yeah.
I hate that with a passion. Legend means something. Legend means that you've been doing it. You've earned. They're good. They're great. They're amazing. You're not a legend yet.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, and aside from Savage and Hogan, you still have the legends that we witnessed and
legends.
Who are retired, and that's Stone Cold Steve Austin, one of the greatest to ever sell, greatest storylines ever, and Shawn
greatest.
Michaels, the greatest in-ring performer ever. You have all these people who...
It only took them fucking 22 to fucking get to Shawn Michaels. We got to rub it in my face one more fucking time.
Is it a lie?
Yes.
It's a lie that he's one of the greatest in-ring performers
one
ever.
One of, not the greatest.
Ric Flair calls him the greatest, and if Ric Flair calls him the greatest, it must be close.
I'm a Bret Hart guy.
Yeah, well, it sucks for you. Anyway, off the
Shawn
tangent.
Shawn Michaels wouldn't make it in that dungeon.
Off the tangent, anyway. I mean, yes, you're right. The whole thing, it not being a story. And we both agree with this opinion that, yeah, it doesn't belong on Brock, and it is a shit build every single time, and it should be someone else. So, I mean, yeah, it sucks.
You can say it till you're blue in the face. I mean, I don't think he's scheduled to do anything until SummerSlam.
Which is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
So you just tack on another...
Money in the bank, why?
Another 90 days, so he's going to be over 500 by the time... He might not even lose it at SummerSlam, and there's a good chance, if it's not the right opponent, he might not. I sure as hell hope whoever... wins this briefcase is from Raw.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to.
It needs to be.
You have to root for a Raw superstar.
You have
in
to.
Money in the bank. You have to.
SmackDown will survive. I mean, I would love to see Samoa Joe and see The Miz hold the briefcase. And they'd be great. They're great heels.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You need Raw to hold that briefcase because you need that successful cash-in and you need Brock Lesnar to go away. Evidently, he's getting tested again. At the end of July to see if he can compete in
UFC. Yeah.
Good. Don't take any fucking anabolics. Don't take your fucking horse piss fucking tranquilizers or whatever the fuck you're taking. Go in there clean. Get your ass beat by fucking Cormier.
Yeah.
Call it a day. Just retire, dude. You're making $6 million to do nothing. Just retire.
You're right. Absolutely. So.
And the freaking purse from Cormier Lesnar.
Yeah.
It's going to be big enough. They can both retire happily after that.
But that's not, I mean, especially with Brock, that's not going to even come close to happening.
No, Cormier might.
Cormier might.
Go into broadcasting. He might fucking make his way to the WWE.
I would like to see Daniel Cormier in the WWE. He is a very, very good personality.
He's a very good personality. He was going tit for tat on Twitter with Matt Jackson.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I think he could be very good.
He might be all in.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool, too. So you want to hit the next?
Yes. The next response was from our good friend Kyle McCall at K_Sharp12. I don't think streaks mean a whole lot because they can be given and taken away so easily. If you look at recent history, the streaks, or stakes as he put it, that have been broken are not to elevate the one breaking them, but to stick it to the one who previously had it. See Demolition and soon CM Punk. Which is what we were getting ready to say, what we had already kind of touched on, but I see his point.
Yeah.
I mean, it does seem like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Demolition, which is one I didn't even think of in that effect of trying to take them out of it. And then after I read that, I'm thinking, did you hear the interview that Demolition did about the Hall of Fame?
No.
They did an interview, something, I don't know if it was a radio interview or whatever, but I read it on Twitter, and they said, well, what it would take to bring you back to put in the Hall of Fame? And they said, oh, I don't know. We hear that when you get put in the Hall of Fame, you get about a $5,000 paycheck. Well, for us, it would take 20. Who the fuck do you think you are saying that Demolition, you're not even that big of a name. Like, you deserve $20,000 to go into the Hall of Fame? Like, yeah, you were good at your time, and that's all I'm going to leave it. Good. You were a second-rate LOD.
Yeah, LOD kind of put them...
You know what I mean? It was a knockoff because LOD was in WCW and NWA, and that was their answer, was Demolition. So, I mean...
And then it got weird when they brought Crush in, and it was...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it was pretty much...
Exactly. But to that effect, I mean, WWE has a... They have a strained relationship with Demolition, and then the New Day beat their streak of holding the titles. Now, at the time, I didn't even think of this, and thanks to Kyle for bringing that up, but now it all makes sense in my head of, hey, that's another perk, just like getting rid of CM Punk's streak is another perk. It's just, hey, screw it, we can get rid of that and not have to talk about them anymore.
Which it looks like, speaking of CM Punk, it looks like they're trying to settle outside of court.
Yeah, I heard the trial was supposed to happen, and then it kind of got pushed back because of that, the settlement talk.
All I know is that, yeah, the streaks nowadays, streaks are meant to be broken, yes.
Of course.
But the streaks nowadays are pretty, on the WWE end, are pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah, the Undertaker's was the last one, and we had a show about this already, whether we thought it should have stayed, or it's the correct...
The streak was meant to be broken. It was not broken in the right way, and therefore, now you're just booking the Undertaker like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Bringing him back to get beat. He's put over Brock and Roman.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Two people that didn't need it.
No, not at all. Brock and we...
The streak... We've already went over this. The streak was meant to be broken, but by someone who needed it. These streaks, I like them when it's a need. The New Day was so over that they didn't need to beat the streak. I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that they're in the record book.
Me too.
But until they piss off Vince, who's the next?
You're right.
Who's
you're absolutely
next?
Right.
It's just the next one up. Who's going to break the streak?
And like Kyle said, it should be to vault people.
Yeah.
It should be done the right way for the right reason.
It should be a stepping stone to immortality.
Absolutely.
Not a joke that shows up four times out of the year with a belt that absolutely means nothing. It means absolutely nothing, that belt. That belt is the laughing stock of wrestling.
It really is.
You have your diehard Lesnar fans that will go to bat for him all the time. Then you have the analytics guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it pretty good. The analytics guys who will just tell you about the numbers, about how much Brock draws. Good for him. He's not interesting.
But as the...
And the numbers are down, but the numbers will go back up. Once Brock shows up on TV, the numbers will magically be up again because of the attraction that Brock is, because they're so scared to rely on their wrestling talent that they need to keep bringing back these fucking half-assed jokes that can go 2 minutes in the ring, a la Goldberg, a la Lesnar. I mean, you want to keep bringing back a guy, bring back Jericho. The proven commodity, the proven talent, the proven greatest of all time.
And the one who can, no matter who he steps in the ring with, it is money. To take a quote from Carmella. But, yeah. I mean, it is just, he, no matter what he does, who it is, I don't think I've ever seen a feud that this guy has not gotten the other person over, and they both look like $1 million at the end of the feud. Every single time.
He's worldwide now.
Yeah.
He's Jericho worldwide. Worldwide?
He is going to be up there with Flair. You know what I mean? He's just, and the way, like, Flair never really reinvented himself. Flair was Flair. Flair was always woo. It was always the robes, the jet flying, limousine driving, all that. It was always that. Jericho continues to reinvent himself, different gimmicks, different things.
He's got a different platform to do it. You really get to see him at 100% edgier.
Yes. Oh,
like this
that,
isn't a
that
this,
promo he like cut you, on Naito get, that video was ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you might be tranquilo, but I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or something along those lines. But anyway, you get to see this non-PG that Jericho looks like he strives for. It looks like he wants this so bad.
And the funny thing is that at this point,
he can
turn his passion for WWE or wrestling on, do what he does as great as he does, turn it, flip it off, and go, I'm going to go be a rock star for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then be good at that as well.
And then I'm going to host a fucking cruise at the end of the year to show you I'm the greatest in the world at everything I do. And I'm going to pack this fucking cruise with the best wrestlers on the planet that aren't in WWE, and we're going to wrestle on a fucking boat.
Mm-hmm. And not only wrestle on a boat, then after we're done wrestling, I'm going to get on stage, and I'm going to play with my band. And then we're going to have...
Me and Fozzy are going to kick the living shit out of this place.
You're going to have gonna the Impractical Jokers. Down. Yeah, the Impractical Jokers on that cruise. They're going to be doing stand-up.
He transcends everything.
Absolutely.
He transcends space and time.
He is amazing. He absolutely is amazing. I mean, so those were the topic questions. We got a little off topic for a little bit. But thank you to everyone who responded for Tuesday's question as well and Monday's all together. We appreciate everyone reaching out and and just contributing to our show and helping us out here.
We hope that you look forward to answering it as much as we look forward to asking it, because it is one of our highlights, and I think it really has helped our show just tweak a couple of the...
just the format and how we do it. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun to get our phones lighting up on Monday and Tuesday mornings with all these responses and
retweets and all that.
Yeah, it's
much
a lot of
appreciated.
Fun.
Appreciated.
So,
should we step into the week of wrestling? The week of the WWE? WWE?
Yeah, I guess we could, considering everything
we
now.
We just shit talked them for about fucking 30 minutes.
Well, now we
should
have,
we say what they did good this week?
Yeah, the pay per view is basically filled.
It's full.
It is completely full. The card now, at least the Money in the Banks, are done. They're full. We have all the participants. And yes.
You got to see who I thought that they were going to put in there in Samoa Joe. I thought that that was the plan no matter what. Thought it was Samoa Joe over Cass. I thought it was Samoa Joe over Brian. And then you get Samoa Joe...
Over both. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was the way to go the whole time. I'm not going to say he's better or more over or anything like that over Daniel Bryan, but he was the right choice in this.
You're right, he was. Absolutely.
It does,
was.
However, give Daniel Bryan nothing to do with Money in the Bank unless they're setting up for another Big Cass versus Daniel Bryan match.
Yawn.
Yeah, it really is. It's not really that interesting of a feud.
And don't get me wrong, I don't say that because of Daniel Bryan. It's just there's nothing really built into this story that much.
No, there's a couple of sneaky backhanded attacks. I mean, that's the way the heel moves, but he's got nothing really left to offer. You know? He's doing the dice move too much. It's pretty much all he's got.
No, you're right. And like you said it, I don't know if it was on our episode last week or it was just us talking about wrestling, but you said about the women's and watch it being Sasha Banks going into the women's Money in the Bank.
I don't want to take credit on the show, but I did say that.
Yeah.
I said that they were going to do it, and they did it. I would have built it a completely different way, but that's just me.
I mean, I think you said this as well, as Ruby Riott was one of them that you said that you would like to see in there.
Here's how I would have booked it after watching it. I would have had, let's see, I would have had Dana Brooke come out first against one of the Riott Squad. Riott Squad wins. I would have had Mickey James come out. Riott Squad wins. Then I would have had Sasha come out, tear through Liv Morgan, then beat Logan, then get beaten pretty bad by Ruby Riott, and then even have the Riott Squad come back out and just attack her and just beat her, and have Bayley come out last. And I would have had almost like a, okay, here you go, Bayley.
Yeah.
The Vultures pretty much took care of the job for you, and basically Bayley comes in, and it's really just a like a half a minute thing, and beats her pretty good. You're fucking making noises over there.
Yeah, I have no idea where that came from. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he's
playing putt-putt on his fucking phone. And he's interrupting my fucking brilliant fucking...
I was really engaged. I was listening, and my hand must have hit my golf game on my phone and just popped on. I apologize for
We're
that.
We're such amateurs. Anyway, I would have Bayley come in, and the Riott Squad pretty much hands her over to her.
Yeah.
And there you go. Bayley gets the win. Bayley's in. I mean, it would have went against what I was saying, but it would have been such a interesting build, because now you're like, okay, well, is Bayley siding with the Riott Squad now? Like, are they in cahoots? And then that kind of adds another fold and three more wrestlers that you need something to do with. And you pretty much just tangled up five people. Not to mention, now you have Natty, who could possibly be turning on Ronda. Mm-hmm. You have Nia Jax. You still have Alexa Bliss out there. You have five women that you just put to good use. You put them in a storyline where Sasha now is wondering, like, oh, she's kind of like the lone woman in the whole mix. And you completely flip it on, because you think Sasha's going to turn this whole time.
Yeah.
Maybe Bayley's in cahoots with the Riott Squad.
And with that, like you said, it helps not only that. The other thing it helps is it helps that this really slow build of Sasha and Bayley of then at Money in the Bank, because she didn't get her chance in, she comes out, you have Bayley up on the top about to clinch, and Sasha comes out and completely ruins it. Now you've hit the gas pedal on Sasha and Bayley at that point.
And you know what I mean? It could happen the other way around.
You're right. Bayley could all of a sudden, you know what I mean, she do that to
maybe
Sasha.
They could do it how I just said it. Maybe Maybe the Riott Squad comes out when Sasha's climbing. Bayley comes out. You think she's going to help her? And they all just gang beat up. Because I would kind of like to see Bayley as the new head of the Riott Squad. She just fucking goes full on goth. All black clothing.
That would be cool.
It would be interesting. It would be cool, yes. But it would be something completely different.
And something one would see coming.
She's vanilla right now.
Very much.
She's Ice Ice Baby right now.
Yeah, very much so.
You need to turn some things on their head. You need to really just look. You gotta go with it. You gotta see if it's gonna work, and if it doesn't, but I think it might. Bayley's gonna be getting booed like crazy. Let's see how she handles it.
Let's turn her. Yeah, absolutely. Turn her.
Let's give her some personality.
Whether it happens with the Riott Squad or whether she just comes out and screws over Sasha at the top of the top of the ladder anyway.
You know what? I think Sasha's more over as a face right now than Bayley.
She is.
Yeah.
You're right. So absolutely, she is.
Let's ride her even higher. Push her as one of the top faces on the brand.
Yeah.
And have her go against Bayley.
Because nothing gives you more sympathy than being right there with that in your hands.
And then you know she's going to take the spot, too, whatever
absolutely.
It is.
She always takes brutal spots.
She's going to fall on her ass.
Yeah. But, so let's hope. We can hope, fingers crossed, that we have a turn like that and Money in the Bank.
And we're
for
a little
Bayley.
All over the place with our review, but we're kind of going with what we think was important. We're kind of just spinning this shit on its head.
Yeah, we're not going match by match anymore. We're not doing that.
No.
It's not fun to do that.
No, it's too predictable, and we don't want to be predictable. We'd be hypocrites if we were doing that.
Absolutely. So what about this Seth Rollins and Elias thing?
Yeah, we were scrolling Twitter before we got on, and we saw that Elias had put out kind of a challenge to Seth Rollins. I mean, as you saw, he blasted the ever-loving shit out of him with a guitar, which is always cool.
Yes.
It's cool to see. Rollins shows his resiliency. He needs help getting up. He doesn't want anyone to help him. He walks out on his own, kind of. with half a J&J security helping him.
Yeah, it's very cool optics when that guitar hits somebody.
Yeah, because really you get the full sound. You're right next to the freaking
announce table.
So you get every little bit of sound. And then Rollins kind of responds and says, "You want it? You got it."
Yeah. So nothing is official yet, but that sounds like it's going to be very soon.
And I like this matchup a lot more than what we said last show of the possible Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
Nothing would thrill me more than to see Jason Jordan come back and help Chad Gable against the show. I think
I think that's basically what they want to do at this point with Jason Jordan.
Nothing against Jason Jordan. He was really going to shine, I think, as a single superstar. But that being said,
I don't think he would have.
I think he was on his way.
Maybe the storyline was very bad.
He was getting the reactions that they wanted.
As a nerd,
yes. And when he finally flips the switch and turns, because the guy can go in the ring. The guy's got great intensity and he's got the eyes.
Without question, he's phenomenal in the ring.
But I think right now the play would be to have him come back, help Gable reform American Alpha, and down the line you can always have them turn on
them. Yeah, I guess.
You could do it the right way.
Yeah, and do the whole best friend thing that always seems to work in a storyline.
They're both great and talented superstars, but the Raw tag team division, which we thought was getting stronger, has felt really, really flat.
Yes.
Because they don't have things for them to do, and they don't really spotlight the tag team division like SmackDown does.
Yeah, it's their own fault. It's Raw's own fault.
They don't know how to prioritize, and they don't know how to squeeze in. They need to have all these stupid segments. And I know, speaking of stupid segments, you're going to go into a women's gauntlet match with what looks like you got about 40 minutes to go, and you're going to bring out a fucking barbecue, a stupid fucking barbecue where you put food out there. You know what the fuck's going to happen already. And to be honest with you, it made me like the B team a little less.
Less?
I didn't like the segment. I thought it's not their fault. I thought it was stupid as all hell. You had a big main event where you could highlight the rest of your women's division and actually make this mean something. You gave them fucking 18 minutes of time. Not even counting commercials.
I agree to an extent. And the extent is it could have been a little bit different. They could have been beaten down by, like, all right, take the barbecue thing away. Take that concept away.
I kind of wish they would have.
Just put them all in the ring together like they had them. Just them and all the rest of the
team. I did like Titus's line about nothing was seasoned. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. But if you have them all in the ring at the same time and them saying this and them saying, we deserve it, and all the tag teams, and the tag teams start going at them, and all of a sudden, somehow, they get an upper hand somehow, and they escape, and they knock out a couple tag teams, and they escape while everyone else is standing in the ring. They look strong. They still can now go back to Kurt Angle and say, look, see what we did? We survived all that. We deserve it. And it would have been better as a team than the stupid food fight barbecue thing. I understand that.
That's the thing. We still don't have number one contenders for...
I think the writing's on the wall. That's going to be the B team. I really do. Honestly, I mean,
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think they. I don't think it's going to be a good match at all. Then there's your pre-show right there. I mean, they might be kind of quasi over because of their gimmick.
Yeah,
but they're not that great. They're not that great in the ring.
No, you're right. I mean, Axel has flashes.
They both have flashes, but here's the thing. There's a reason they don't get this time. There's a reason they don't believe in them as much as they believe in other guys.
But
they are second and third generation wrestlers.
The funny thing is the reason they are getting this time is because of what they did with The Miz.
Yeah.
And it shows you how good The Miz is getting these guys over.
That's completely true, but here's the thing. It was a stupid segment.
Yeah.
And that doesn't play into their character.
Although I thought Rhino came out looking funny as hell.
Yeah, which he probably will 9 times out of 10 when you put food in front of him.
Yeah, the bologna sandwiches were a nice touch.
But that's not part of their character where they're going to fight back and they're going to get the upper hand.
No,
they're not
right.
Underdogs.
Right.
They're not faces. They're little goofy prick heels that are kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm.
They're a funny amusement type. That's why I think their best fit is against Brizango.
You're right. Those four together are awesome.
Have them go on a mini storyline together about who can out goofy who. I mean, that's at least entertaining. The stupid fucking the barbecue thing. I get the what it was. It was Memorial Day, so everyone's barbecuing, so we're going to tie it in like that.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Which they do with a lot of holidays. They do it all the time.
They do it with the 4th of July. They do it...
Thanksgiving. They do it as much as they possibly can.
They do it. It's just... It's run its course.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean...
Especially when there's so many people looking forward to the last match, and you're like, oh, this is going to be really good. You got the freaking men who got over an hour... They basically did, what, almost 2 hours overall?
Yeah.
And then you get the women who get 25 minutes.
You're right. And now, wait.
It's the WWE, the land of equality.
Now, maybe it was just me dreaming, but was it me or was there no Roman Reigns on Monday Night Raw?
I didn't want you to bring it up. I should have talked to you before this. If he's not brought up by the show, we don't bring him up
in our show. I think it's a pretty big deal that he wasn't at all.
I don't think it was that big of a deal.
You don't think they've been shoving down our mouth for the past 6-7 years.
Here's the thing. This is what you're getting. This is what the people wanted. This is what you're getting.
I'm not complaining at all. I'm shocked by it. That's what it was. It literally took me till the end of Raw to realize. Wait.
Did we really need him? Would he have brought anything? Maybe he got a vacation day.
Maybe.
I mean, he does put in his time.
No, absolutely he does.
Maybe he's nursing a little something. They don't want to push him too far before the Money in the Bank match, the main event of the Money in the Bank match.
Him and Jinder?
The grudge match for the main event.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any boos.
Yeah, I was just... I was kind of shocked. I wasn't really...
I noticed it like within the second hour. I was like, wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't think about it after that. I was like, well, let's see how this goes.
I honestly didn't think about it until after it was over.
Well, here's the thing.
That was my
thing. And so the numbers say that this was one of the lowest rating Raws in the past weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So this is another one. So you get SmackDown's the lowest rated SmackDown. This Raw's one of the lowest rated Raws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so Roman Reigns wasn't on TV. Your numbers hurt. So you bring him back. You bring Lesnar back. You bring The Undertaker back to talk gibberish. I mean, now you got your ratings.
Yeah.
But then you get all of us marks and smarks bitching about the product.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a lose-lose for us.
Yeah.
Because we're going to bitch no matter what. We're going to find the things to pick apart and whatever.
If there wasn't things to pick apart, we wouldn't be able to do this.
No, we would be...
We'd be bored.
All butterflies and rainbows talking about wrestling. But that's not us. That's not our personalities. We need to nitpick something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, basically, that was your week.
Yeah, there wasn't much else.
Your two main shows. No, there was something much else. And it was the match of the week, which happened Tuesday night after SmackDown.
I was going to say there wasn't much else on Raw and SmackDown.
No, there wasn't. But I do want to touch on this because it was exactly what you want to see from the 205 Live product.
Yes.
They had the build where it was actually really interesting. Oh, Murphy didn't make weight. Oh, he made weight. Nope, he didn't make weight again. Nope, he made weight. Now he's the number one contender for what he should have been the number one contender for at the greatest Royal Rumble.
Yes.
So they built it up. He had the attack right after he won it. And the match was phenomenal.
Yes, they got, to say the least.
The whole second half of 205 Live, the whole second half of the hour, was dedicated to that match.
And it deserved it,
as
you see.
And it lived up to the hype. And this is what you get excited about when you can't get as much excited about the main TV, about Raw and SmackDown every week. That and NXT are what you get excited for. You get excited because you're going to see some good storylines and you're going to see some really, really good matchups. And 205 Live is really just finding its stride with all these matchups that they got going on. They got these mini storylines in there with Kendrick intertwined with and Gallagher intertwined with the Lucha Squad.
And now
kind of intertwined with
Gulak,
who's actually facing, in the first round of the UK tournament, Gallagher.
Yes.
And you also got Itami and...
Itami, yes, I do.
Tozawa. Akira Tozawa.
Yes.
I knew you weren't going to get it for me.
No. I knew the face. I couldn't pull the name out.
Couldn't get the name.
Yeah.
Knew the face, couldn't get the name. Yeah. Doesn't help me on a radio.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, anyway, no, you're right. It was such a great match.
Intermixing with each other, and they really know what they're doing, and you're getting good matches every week. And this one, probably the best they've put out since Neville left.
You're right. Yeah, this stands out.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about Neville versus Enzo. I'm talking about Neville when he was the king of the cruiserweights, putting on match after, basically carrying the division. And now, he left at the wrong time. I'll keep saying it, and I'll say it again. He left at the wrong time because now you have meaningful storylines. You have a guy like Cedric Alexander who got signed on the spot in the tournament.
Yeah.
Went from just complete and utter. They had no idea what to do with him. He was going against Noam Dar in the back with Alicia Fox as his girlfriend and Dar's girlfriend, and that stupid fucking thing that they do where they intermix the woman with... Oh, nope, she's with him. She's with him. Uh-oh. Now they're fighting over her? Yeah. Stupid. Now they finally got past all that. Now there's actual wrestling, and there's actual wrestling-related storylines. Not the garbage. It's exciting.
It is. Absolutely. It's a good time to be a fan of stuff like that. And, I mean, in NXT...
Its card is basically formed for NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Yes.
Next month.
Yes. I mean... And it's going to look... Again, not like this is a big surprise to anybody, especially us. They continue to put out amazing cards every time.
And they're different. Except for one match. They're different.
Yeah.
You're going to have... You're going to have Ciampa and Gargano again. Who knows if... It might be the main event again. But this is just... the next chapter in this story.
It
went from a brutal match to potentially an even more brutal match that you don't know what's going to happen. You kind of think the champ has got to take one of these.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this one's kind of designed for the heel.
Yeah. Like Chicago street fights.
You're going to get the edgier side of Gargano, but I think this one shapes up way more in Ciampa's favor.
Yeah, as well it should. He's owed one.
And he's winning the head game matchup. Yes. He's winning the mind games, so to speak. And then you get, you find out you get Lars Sullivan, the big brute, against Aleister Black for the title.
Eggie calls him generic wrestler number two.
Yes, generic. And you're kind of fitting that, and I did it once. He's starting to grow on me, not so much as his in ring skill, his mic skill's not as terrible. He's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Is he main event? Yeah, probably, because he's fucking huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many people that are going to beat him on the roster in a one-on-one match. If Killian Dane couldn't do it, there's not going to be many more that can do it. You get... who else was on that card? You get...
One of the bigger ones, the Ricochet...
Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream, and that promo between the two. These two guys, if they don't end up as a tag team... then my mind's going to be blown, because it looks like that's the way that they're going.
Yeah,
but they have respect for each other, and they're going to tear it down in Chicago. They're probably going to put on the match of the night. But I feel like they're destined to become a tag team.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Not in a bad sense, but I feel like they're going to be allies at some point.
No, yeah.
And I feel I like see that. Their personalities don't mesh at all, so I think it could be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what the funny thing is?
They're both main card ready.
Yeah, absolutely they are. The women's match I'm actually looking forward to. Baszler versus Dakota Kai is going to be a pretty damn good match, too.
Now, Nikki Cross didn't insert herself into that match?
Oh, man. Because
you watched NXT, right?
Yeah, but I was fading.
She won the title.
Oh, man, I really got to go back and watch the full thing then.
Yeah, well, basically, there was no one... Baszler was beating up Dakota Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Cross comes out in the most batshit crazy form you can possibly think of. And that's what she is. She's batshit crazy.
Yeah.
In all the most wonderful ways I can think of. She comes out, helps her. Baszler backs up. She goes, me and you, title, right now. And she says it like 5 times, maybe 6 times, maybe 10 times. She says it a bunch of different times. Me and you, right now, for the title. Baszler looks so fucking confused at what she's talking about and points to Dakota Kai. You're the ref.
And so this just happens.
Hits her with her finishing move, pins her, Dakota Kai counts it, she takes the title, runs into the crowd, runs around the ring, runs out of the building with the title. Now, they announced that she's not the champion, but I think she gets her shot at NXT TakeOver Chicago. I think that's what they're going to end up doing.
All right, and I definitely fell asleep because I don't remember that at all.
No, it was at the very end, but
I definitely missed it.
It might end up becoming a triple threat. because I don't think Dakota Kai is completely out of the picture for the title yet. She got beat, but she looked strong in some senses. Mm-hmm. She put the fight to her in some ways. But Nikki Cross is the X factor in that whole match.
Hell yeah, I love that character too.
Then you got the tag team champions will be on the line, and I mean that's pretty much. I mean, you don't get Adam Cole, you don't get EC3, War Raiders aren't there yet, but I mean the card is just incredible, and it's gonna match Money in the Bank.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Money in the Bank is gonna be good because there are two ladder matches on it. We've said this before.
They are the deciding factor. They're usually really, really good.
Yeah, and the participants this year
are different.
The most versatile I've ever seen in a Money in the Bank match.
It's everything. Every style will be involved in this match.
I can't wait for June the 17th, which is Father's Day, by the way, if you didn't realize that, but. June 17th.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. But that's a hell of a Father's Day gift. I hope my dad can make pay-per-view. The trek.
Maybe try him to get up there. Get him up here for the old pay-per-view.
That'd be fun.
Because he loves the network.
Let's see. I think it might be time to take a little trip into...
The indie wrestling vault?
I think it's time.
Are we going to hit the kill switch right into the vault?
We have to.
Oh, baby. This is our new segment.
Yes, we are going to take a little trip. We're going to open up the vault, and we're going to pull something out and talk about something that you're going to want to see as a wrestling fan.
Now, it's either going to be, sorry to cut you off, it's either going to be a recent indie match, something that we pull up because spare time, we look to scour YouTube and find the matches that, I mean, it's either going to be now or then or whenever it happened, but we're going into the vault, the indie vault.
Yes.
And we're going to pull out a match, we're going to hype it up, and we're going to say, watch this fucking match, because this match is one of the best we've seen.
Yes.
Just walked into the vault, and what do I see with my two baby blue eyes? Ooh, is that a King of Bros match with the aerial assassin Will Ospreay? This match is the match to watch from OTT Wrestling. You can watch it right on YouTube. Pins Will Ospreay against Matt Riddle, and this match was rapidly paced. This was a 20-minute barn burner match, full of action. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but both the guys mesh very well together. It had every sort of high spot. They both looked incredibly strong. And to be honest with you, the match kind of ended in the way that I didn't think it was going to end.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go one way, and they took it a different way.
They were able to turn it really well.
I watched it last week on Thursday, I think, and then that next Friday, I came over, and I said, turn on this fucking match. And we sat there and were just like in awe. Again, I could watch it over and over and over again. Nightmare, you hit him.
Yeah, when you said it, I was like, okay, this sounds just the participants got me. Oh, man, Will Ospreay and King of Bros, who I've been a fan of since his career started in UFC, this really got me. And then to sit down and watch it and watch what these guys pull off is just, it's absolutely ridiculous. We couldn't oversell this more with how good this match is. And literally, all you have to do, type in Will Ospreay versus Matt Riddle from Scrapper Mania 4. That is what it was. It was in Ireland. It was such a good show. The crowd
was crazy.
Was insane. They're singing Irish
drinking songs.
Irish drinking songs. It's amazing. The atmosphere is great.
The whole setting of the arena and the match itself and everything, it's just exciting. And if you're listening to us right now and you trust our opinion, which you should, let's be honest, what other opinion matters besides ours if you're listening to us?
Yes.
None. So you go on, you watch this match, you thank us later, maybe you send us a little Twitter message, maybe you do something to reach out. Let us know that you're listening.
Yeah, absolutely. But you got to watch this match. As a wrestling fan, if you listen to us, I promise you will not be disappointed. It'll be the best 22 minutes you have spent in a long time if you sit and watch this match. Absolutely.
You got it. There you have it. Right out of our YouTube vault. You get Matt Riddle, Will Ospreay. And we look forward to bringing you maybe a new match from a different era every week out of the vault. So I hope you're as excited as we are, folks. That pretty much wraps up the old turd this week. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Hopefully, down the line, we'll have some more interviews. Hopefully, you enjoyed our past two interviews, because we sure as hell did. Hopefully, you liked what we had to say. Hope you liked what our guests had to say. Hopefully, you just enjoy everything that comes out of our mouth holes. Yeah?
No? Yeah. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at 215 Wrestling. You can find us on Podbean and iTunes, as always.
Apple Podcasts, baby.
So we hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be talking to you very soon, and I hope you have a good week.
Enjoy the weekend, folks. Later.